Our scripture text this morning is taken from Psalm 107. I'll be reading particularly from verses 1 through 22. It's on page number 947 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to turn to it. Psalm 107. I'll be reading verses 1 through 22. And what I want you to notice is the way this starts off, exalting in God's goodness. It launches with a statement of the goodness of God, which is our focus in the message and the worship this morning. And as we consider all these different scenarios in this psalm, some wandered with desert wastelands, some sat, there are several different contexts in which God's goodness and mercy is shown and given testimony to, with the refrain in verse 8 and also down in verse 15, with like a chorus, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men. So there's a structure of the psalm that I'm sharing with you. So let's examine this as God examines our hearts through his Holy Spirit and by his word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the land, the lands from the east to the west, from the north to the south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and left there as their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Well, we're going to stop there, but I recommend at some point you read on. There expands on that, expounds on God's goodness all the way from that first verse in all these life situations in Psalm 107. As we think about God's goodness, the goodness of God, one of the things I've been thinking about is our commitment to know and be known. A Christian's goal and objective in every relationship, whether it be our relationship with our Heavenly Father, our relationship with spouses, our children and family, whatever the relationship, friendships, The goal is to know and be known. In the beginning of a love relationship, courting and dating, there is always a time of discovery and disclosure to know and be known, and a healthy relationship continues that all the way, whether it be 5 months or 50 years or 60 or 70, whatever. So you think about, who is this person? Is this person really somebody I want to go deep with? Is this really someone I want to grow a relationship, to commit, to do the hard work, to know and be known? I would suggest to you that one of the secrets to a strong Christian marriage is that constant drive to know and be known. As I thought about this, I was thinking about our anniversary, Bev and my anniversary, coming up in less than 2 weeks. 39 years. It's a miracle. And you know, after we got into this thing, about 2 years into our marriage, my wife, Bev, was complaining that I didn't share my feelings. I didn't really talk like she wanted to disclose what was going on with me and who I was. And my answer to that was, I've already told you everything about me. Who do you think I am, or what do you think I feel? I'm not that complicated, Bev. Yeah, she didn't buy it. Typical man, right, ladies? It's like, what? After 2 years, I know all the... Well, I'm not that complicated. Well, as we've gone on, we've been continuing in this wonderful adventure. And now, after 39 years, looking back, I think it's a remarkable thing that a woman would commit to knowing me inside and out, good and bad, strengths and weaknesses, warts and all, over the long haul. That's remarkable, for me anyhow. It's kind of scary, beginning with this remarkable adventure. She's still trying to figure me out, and I her, understanding the mind of a woman. It's an adventure. I love it when I can use my wife, the analogy of my wife for my relationship with God. She loves it too, right? Our relationship with God is like that. In our faith journey, we are continuing to come to know Him and be known by Him. Yes, God knows everything about us from beginning to end, and so forth, but we need to draw near to Him, to know Him, and be known by Him. You and me and the Lord together, a personal relationship, deepening, growing, intimate fellowship with God. You can never plumb the depths of the amazing truths of who God is. We have so much to learn about God. It's an inexhaustible store of resources. And it's not enough to just know about God, but we need to know Him personally, experientially, to grow and spend time with Him. See the analogy here? To spend quality and quantity time with the Lord in communication. Yes, we get to share our thoughts and feelings with Him, which He already knows, but to hear how He thinks and how He feels, who He is, and what He has done for us. J.I. Packer, in his marvelous book, classic book, Knowing God is the title of it, says that the chief occupation of every Christian is knowing God. So, I'm inspired to think about who God is for a summer sermon series on the attributes or characteristics of God, beginning with the goodness of God. And for this, I am using a resource that we're studying on Sunday evenings by Chip Ingram, The Real God, God as He Longs for You to See Him. You know, God longs for you and me to see Him clearly and to know Him rightly. God is longing for a deep relationship with you and me. That blows my mind and inspires me. So as I lean on this study, I don't know where it's going to go. It may last 2 weeks. It may last all summer. I don't know, because there's so much. But consider the multifaceted diamond, so to speak, of who God is, every face and characteristic. From His goodness, God is good. Ah, there you go. You remember. Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I love it. We're right there. So great. God is, that may show up again. Just watch for it. Listen, when I think you're dozing off, it may show up. Isn't it remarkable that God loves us so deeply, profoundly, that He seeks us in a way that He wants to reveal Himself to us, especially His goodness? That's amazing, because sometimes for various reasons in this world, in our lives, we have a wrong picture of God. We have a caricature of who God is, of God's goodness. So many people think God is just kind of watching over, ready to stomp on them, smash His finger down like, ah, you messed up. Take care of that. God's just ready to squash it. No. God is good. And all the time. Yeah, I told you. Anyhow, the devil would just love to get you to believe the myth that God is out to get you and that He's just waiting for an excuse. God loves you. And consider His goodness. And see the real God, the real, not some collection or caricature of the nature of God and especially His goodness as the world might see. The world kind of synthesizes different gods and pulls together from the smorgasbord of ideas about who God is, and we tend to fashion our understanding and image of the nature of God according to the way we like it. But no, let's look to God's Word as He has revealed Himself and see His goodness. And by the way, out on the back table, I have a handout. I didn't have the ushers give this out because you'd be lost looking at this thinking, well, I can handle the sermon outline. That's not too tough. But this, two sides, scriptures, this was a Bible study I did a good while back, and for fun, if you want to pick up a copy of this, extra credit, you can look at it, and if you don't want to, tack it up on your refrigerator and throw darts at it. No, not at your refrigerator. Anyhow, on this, it shows that God's goodness includes His love, grace, mercy, kindness, patience, long-suffering. All of that is encompassed in this idea of God's goodness. And in the scriptures, we have a revelation of God's goodness. By the way, here in life, in the 21st century, we use the word good in a lot of different respects, a lot of different ways in which we use that term goodness with relative meaning. We talk about a good dog, and we're not talking about a God who will fetch when told, right? We call a boy or a girl a good boy. I can hear my grandfather even now saying, now be a good boy and do whatever, right? God is way more great and good than an obedient child. a good husband, someone who is faithful and true, well, that's great, reflecting God, but God is way more than that. So let's think about this, what it means for God to be good. Back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 33, Moses had seen God at work through the burning bush. God revealed himself to Moses. He saw the miracles in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, freeing his people from slavery, providing manna and water in the wilderness, and abundant examples of God's power, goodness, and grace. But Moses wanted more. He wanted a personal, intimate knowledge of this God who he had heard his powerful voice, seen his wonderful working power. And he said, show me your glory. Exodus chapter 33. In other words, he said, you know, I really want to know you. I want to see you as you are. And God said, Moses, I will set you in the cleft of a rock and pass by proclaiming my name. As my glory passes by you, I will cover you with my hand and proclaim my name. But my face cannot be seen, because that full glory of seeing me face to face will destroy you. It would kill you. And he says, I will cause all my goodness, check it out. Moses asked for glory. Linked to that is God's goodness. God says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. For I will have mercy on those whom I have mercy, and compassion on those on whom I will have compassion. And we see that indeed the Lord did that. He placed Moses in the cleft of the rock, and as God descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Catch that, the Lord abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. But think about that. This emphasis on goodness. In Dr. Packer's book, he says, within the cluster of God's moral perfections, there is one in particular in which the term goodness points. The quality which God especially singled out from the whole. When proclaiming all of his goodness to Moses, he spoke of himself as abundant in goodness and truth. In other words, this quality of generosity. Our God is a generous God in his goodness. Amen? Praise God for that. I have a great definition that is from marvelous devotional Christian author A.W. Tozer in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, about the character of God. Listen to this. This is such a great definition of God's goodness. The goodness of God is that which disposes him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill toward men. He is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy, and his unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open and frank and friendly. By his nature, God is inclined to bestow blessedness and takes pleasure in the happiness of his people. God, by his very nature, is inclined to bestow his blessings on us. And he takes total pleasure, Tozer says, in the happiness of his children. That's good news for you and me. Jesus said it in a different way. When you seek, God is seeking you. In Matthew, let me read this for you. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God loves to give good gifts. I thought about this quote yesterday. I was down in Linwood for my granddaughter Andy Jane's 13th birthday. 13th birthday party. Sue Penrod, whatever age she is. My granddaughter, a teenager. I don't know exactly how I feel about her being a teenager. Bev and I were considering that, and it's good news and bad news. But anyhow, you know, we asked her what she wanted for her teen birthday, and she said, teenager think, right? Teenager, money. Typical teen. Sorry to you guys that are teens. Anyhow, what a great idea. And also she was looking for some Nintendo Switch things, whatever. And she got a new cell phone, iPhone, but money from Grant. And I was thinking, well, I don't know. Should I get her a cake, bread, or give her a stone? No, I didn't think that. Well, should I give her a snake? Or buy fresh fish from the local seafood place for the party? No, I didn't think that. As a grandfather, loving to lavish love on her, I was predisposed to generosity, just like God is to us. So, do you know that deep in your hearts that God wants to pour out his goodness in your life, in the experience of your relationship with God? Do you know this deep in your heart that God loves you even more than a grandfather loves his grandchild, even more than a father or mother loves his children? God's love and goodness is infinite and eternal, his generosity. So how do you know that? How do you experience that, which I'm talking? God's goodness is revealed to us. God's goodness is revealed to us in a number of ways. God reveals his goodness through natural blessings. Just walk out. Well, wait, don't walk outside yet. But just walking outside, you see the beauty of God's creation, the marvelous day that he's given us. Even when it's raining, God sends his rain, which is a blessing on the evil and the just and so forth. The Bible says the good or the bad, blessings of rain and sunshine. In Psalm 145, the goodness in and to all creation is shown and revealed, where the psalmist sings, they celebrate your abundant, generous goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. The Lord is good to all. Do you know that you're included in the all there? You're part of all. You and I both. That's good news. God's natural blessings, goodness in nature's abundance. There's abundance. Just look at the way your grass keeps growing and it's abundant. And, you know, we tend to have these vines and things and other stuff that kind of creeps into our yard and overtakes. It's amazing how nature can be, well, let's put a positive spin on that and think about strawberry season in South Jersey, blueberry season in South Jersey, tomatoes. Tony DeBona says he's expecting a bumper crop of tomatoes, more than he can eat this year, and cucumbers and peas and all kinds of stuff. And cicadas. No, he didn't say cicadas. Talk about abundance of nature, right? What a crazy year this year. Cicadas. Are you ready for this? My daughter, who's a naturalist, she's a bio major studying birds out in southern Indiana. She went to a cicada festival yesterday out in Nashville, Indiana, wherever that is. And she ate cicadas. I never thought I'd hear the day. Right, Bethany? She had chocolate crunch cicada ice cream. Well, I'm not sure you were ready for that. But, you know, God provides an abundance, whether it's strawberries or cicadas. It's all evidence of God's overflowing blessing. All creation sings. All nature sings. And round me rings. This is my Father's world. Through natural blessings, God reveals his goodness. Through specific deliverance, God reveals his blessing, as I said in this psalm. Through wilderness wanderings and desert wastelands. Sounds kind of like COVID-19. Verse 4. Verse 10, through darkness and gloom, prison and chains, the prisons and chains of our own addictions and sins, God gives deliverance and salvation. In verses 17 and 18, from our self-destructive plans and patterns, even death, the valley of the shadow of death, God shines and shows us his goodness. And in verses 23 through 30, even through the storms and calamities of life's storms, pestilence and disaster, hear the recurring refrain. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men. God is good. And all the time. But preeminently, God reveals his goodness through his Son, Jesus the Christ. For God is for you. I want you to hear that today. God is for you. He is for you. As Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, these people, you know, this person makes me crazy and he's out to get me. And you know what? If God is for you, and God is for you, don't mistake. He's not ambivalent. He's not. No, he's for you. It says it black and white right there. Because we see proof of that is he did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God gave us salvation through his son, and that's just the beginning of God's good and gracious gifts. Evidence of that, Romans 5:8, for God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God in Christ is the fullest revelation of his goodness and his goodwill towards you and to me. Okay, what does that mean now for you and me personally? Can we make it even more personal? What difference does that reality make, knowing the goodness of God in my life, your life today? Let me lift up three suggestions about our personal response to this revelation of God's goodness. Our response to God's goodness includes repentance of ingratitude, repentance, our awareness of our sin, and repentance unto salvation, first of all, knowing that we don't deserve God's goodness, but he, by his grace and mercy, gives us what we don't deserve. But that comes at the cost of our repentance, confessing our sin and coming to him. God's grace and goodness drives us to our knees. Here's a verse for you that's awesome. I love this verse. Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? You know what moves people to repentance? You know what moves our hearts? It's not the hammer of guilt and judgment. It's God's mercy and grace as we capture that in our hearts and our minds. His goodness reflected to us, often taken for granted. We need to repent of ingratitude and be thankful. In fact, that's the beginning of our text, Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It's a command. Give thanks, for his love endures forever. By the way, it's also the first verse in Psalm 106. It's kind of a theme in these Psalms. It's his kindness. Meditating on his kindness brings us up short to repent and fall on our knees. And secondly, our response is to rest in his love. Psalm 31 verse 19 says, how great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste it. See it. It's tangible. It's substantial. It is sensual. It's something you can sink your teeth in. Something you can chew on in your own personal experience. Don't just take my word for it. Taste it yourself. The knowledge of God's goodness reassures our faith and our trust. In a world of worry, the knowledge of God's goodness sustains our security and our stability. That's our refuge and strength. No need to worry. Wouldn't that be great? You don't worry about stuff, do you? See how practical this is? Meets us, the very point of our anxiety and fear and worry, COVID-19 or whatever. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Repent of ingratitude, rest in his love, and risk in his providence. He cares for you and will provide for your needs. So step out and follow his will. Submit to God's will for your life and step out even to uncomfortable places. Out of comfort zones. Ah, we love to be where it's comfortable, but God sometimes calls us to take risks in faith because of his goodness. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He is our sun, our shield, our surety and security. Step out with faith-filled confidence and surrender to his guidance and direction in your life. As I was at midweek worship this last week, Lydia sang a song that I was kind of familiar with, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But it was a version that I had not heard before, and in the refrain, we're going to sing that as we close. But I'd never really let this one phrase, this one sentence, capture me. As I was meditating on the goodness of God all week, this hymn writer says, let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Right? Whoa. Did you catch that? Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my heart. Be bound in security and salvation. I tend to wander. Lord, I feel it. But God invites us to come. And we invite him to come and overflow in our lives with the abundance, the fountain of his goodness. God longs for you to see him as he really is, because God is good. And all the time, God is good. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Help us to know it deeply, that it changes everything, that we might give thanks to you, for you are good, your love endures forever. Amen. Let's stand together and sing that. And actually, in this version, Lydia has a refrain, a chorus, in between the verses that we're used to singing. Yeah, let's stand. And it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It was anointed, I felt, on Wednesday night, and I said to her, I'm going to change the last hymn. I really want to make this the punchline of our service and of the message. Come thou fount of every blessing. The verses, the words for the verses are on the screen. They're also in your red hymnal, number 400.
And I
may the peace of God go with you as you carry his peace to one another and to others in the world. Take his goodness lavished upon you that you might be good to all, to one another and to all that with whom you come in contact, now and forever. Amen.